Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. And here is Windermere Chief Economist Matthew Gardner to tell us how high housing prices are going to go. They still continue to climb no matter what. They seem to be bulletproof. And I noticed that especially the market seems to be really healthy in Kitsap County. People are opting for the ferry ride.
I think you're right. And good morning, Dave. It's great hearing your voice again.
Thank you.
Can and has for the last several months kind of felt like Groundhog Day every time we speak. Prices are always going up. There's no supply. Same old, same old. But, you know me, I like to dig deeper through the numbers. And first of the bat, as you said, Kitsap County. And that is the fact that work from home, which is real, it's not going to be going away. However, at the same time, it's not going to be black and white. We're not going to be disappearing off the wild blue yonder forever. And that means that there has been far greater interest in the counties adjoining Seattle. So whether it be Snohomish, Pierce, or, as you said, Kitsap, and people going out there for a lot more value for money than they can get here in Seattle.
And what is still driving this? What has made this market so buoyant?
Well, there's a couple of things, one of which is, naturally, we think about home prices. It's all about supply and demand. We're not building enough housing. There is demand. So go back to Econ 101. Limit supply, have net new demand. That pushes prices up. But also, it's the function of the fact that mortgage rates, even though they have certainly notched up, which was expected, are still remarkably low. So given that, and one more thing as well, and that is those pesky millennials. They are getting older and they want to buy housing. So we've really got almost a perfect storm in that respect. But at the same time, I think, and certainly here in King County, we are, it's tough to say we're reaching an apex, but we've seen month-over-month home prices are down. In fact, they're down across the board. We're seeing two different things, one of which is affordability has become a significant issue. And quite frankly, people are saying, oh, there's nothing to buy, but I'm not going to get carried away. So we are seeing home price growth. The pace of growth is slowing, but more so here in Seattle than in those adjoining counties.
Housing is going to be a big issue in the mayoral race. The next mayor is going to have to, I think, either solve the problem or be a one-term mayor, or, you know, these days you can get recalled too. Do you see, as somebody who looks at the market and how it affects housing prices, do you see any viable solution to creating the kind of super cheap, affordable housing in enough quantity to actually get, 37,000 people into low-cost housing? I mean, how do you do that in a city like Seattle?
Remarkably, remarkably difficult. So I think you've got to be careful not to conflate the things. We talk about low-cost housing or affordable housing. We really think about the housing market in three buckets. So you have the normal market rate housing, which is fine. But then we've got the demand for workforce housing, and that's for families making 80 to about 120% of median income. And that's going to be the firefighters, the teachers, the nurses. And then you've got the low-income housing, people making below 40 or 50% of median income. But I think it's that middle tier of housing which is the biggest concern that I have. That is that those teachers and those nurses. And in order to address that, well, obviously, as you said, we need to build more. We've run out of land. And so how can you get around this? Well, you've got to ultimately think about, is zoning in our market appropriate today as it was back in, 1938 when it was created? And in the city of Seattle, for example, if you look at residential land, over 75% is zoned single family. Made sense in the 30s, probably through the 60s. Doesn't make sense now. However, when you talk about making changes to that, well, people that live in those neighborhoods, quite frankly, a majority of them are just not fans of that. They don't want change. And they can be very vocal about it. So I think it's a significant issue. But ultimately, I think what we need to do is the same route we saw in Minneapolis, we've seen already in Oregon, and it's going to happen in California, where you can build, we're not talking about high rises, but duplexes or triplexes inside single family zoned areas. It's happened in Oregon, happened in Minneapolis, going to happen in California. Is there concern? Well, of course, because people, if they own their homes and you start seeing more people coming in and more development occurring, maybe at lower price points, naturally, they're going to be concerned about their own value of their own homes, which is generally speaking why people don't like zoning changes. They don't want change. They like the status quo.
Well, you're the economist. So can building low income housing in a community lower property values?
Oh, I think that's unlikely. I mean, it's not a case that it's not a case we're talking about development of a lot of Section 8 housing. We're not talking about a new Cabrini Green coming into play. So when we talk about this in terms of those duplexes or even triplexes, quite frankly, I could drive you down a street and ask you to choose what was single family versus a multifamily home or an attached home. I think you'd have a hard time in some areas figuring out which one that is. So it doesn't change the aesthetic necessarily. And really, people continue to move here, whether we like it or not. We're not going to make any more land. I know it's what we need, but whether we can do it, whether there's the political will to do it, well, that's the big question.
Matthew Gardner, Windermere Chief Economist. Matthew, thanks very much.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Take care.